Good morning, everyone. Let's take our Bibles and let's turn to the book of Joshua today. The book of Joshua. I am looking forward to this series, and I've been enjoying the study that I've done in the book so far. And today, as we look at the account of the spies going into the land, today's story is a little bit different than you might take away. Because as we've been looking at the book of Joshua, and just in this second week now, we are looking at how Israel was able to move beyond normal into the promised land. And I think as a people, we are ripe to move beyond this new normal. As we look at this series, we look at the obstacles that Israel faced. In chapter 2, Israel is going to find a surprising obstacle that when you read chapter 2, it seems straightforward, like it's a story, a harrowing story of spies going into the land and being rescued by a harlot. But it's the conversation that Rahab has with the spies that sets the tone for Israel to hear this message, for Joshua to hear this message and realize what God is doing on her behalf. The whole point of today's message is the importance of learning and taking time to think differently. That's the problem with being stuck in a normal setting. We think one way. We think inside the box. And if you're going to move beyond normal, you've got to learn to think outside of the box. It is because of God's grace that you and I do not linger in our sin or face judgment in hell, because he sent his only begotten Son. And the message of the gospel is a call to this world to say, it's time to stop thinking the way you've been thinking. It's time to stop living the way you've been living. It's time to stop serving the way that you've been serving. When sin leads us, it leads us to discouragement. When we live in sin, not only does it mire down our life, but it impacts and affects other people. And the power of the gospel is that it has the power to transform lives. And I'm grateful this morning that I serve a risen Savior. And so today, as we look at Joshua chapter 2, I'd like to start off by talking about the big letdown. As we look at this big letdown, I want to ask you to think about a time in your life, maybe a conversation, maybe a plan that you had, a moment that you had change in mind, that you are going to start off in a fresh direction. And when you share that information or you share that idea with someone, isn't it amazing how people have the power just to take the wind out of your sails? Or let your excitement out like an air leaves a balloon. And it is overwhelming when you share your vision with somebody and they don't have the same vision that you have. It can let you down and leave you feeling really discouraged. And so we're going to address that phenomenon this morning. So we've been looking in these past 2 weeks, we're defining the challenge of living in normal times. As for Israel, it comes down to staying put on this side of the river or going into the promised land. Our point today is this: we need to move beyond yesterday's expectations. And for the children of Israel, going into the promised land was no longer going to be just something that they were waiting for. It was going to be a very present reality. It was not a matter of if, it was going to be a matter of when. I invite you to look at Joshua chapter 2, verse 8. Now, I've skipped over the excitement of the story because we're just going to focus on what Rahab says in the account, but I encourage you to read Joshua chapter 2 to look at the exciting story of the spies that sneak into the land and how they meet Rahab, and she hides them. She lies to the king of the city. She hides them, and then she helps them escape. She lowers them down the wall, and they hide out in caves for several days before they go back and take the report back to Joshua concerning what they found inside the land. But we're just going to look at verses 8 through 18 as we look at what Rahab said. And before they were laid down, she came upon them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life is for yours if ye utter not this our business. It shall be when the Lord hath given us this land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window. For her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless our time in his word this morning. Lord Jesus, we come this morning. We come with hearts that undoubtedly are hungry for life to return to what we call normal. Though it's easy to get stuck today and define how we are living right now in this moment as normal. But God, we understand that in your richness, you have so much greater and so much more in store for us. And I pray, Lord, this morning that you would give us the grace, that you would give us the appetite, that you would give us in our core a deep desire to not to return to normal, but to move beyond normal. That, Lord, we learn from what we have seen in the past and not be defeated by it. Or, Lord, that we would not be held back by past defeats. But, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would give us grace to rise up and be the people that you have us to be and that you've called us to be. And I pray, Father, that this morning that our faith would be in you greater than it would be in those voices that we sometimes listen to. So, Lord, today I pray that you address not our faithlessness, because we demonstrate every day that we've got a lot of faith. We just have it in the wrong places. And I pray this morning, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would give us the grace to rise up, to move into and beyond what you've called us to be. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. How amazing to consider Israel's story. When you think back in the book of Genesis, how God had called Abraham to go, and God had promised to Abraham that he would give him a nation, descendants, a seed. And there was going to be a promise of land. And God reminded Isaac and he reminded Jacob of that promise. And we see and we look at Israel's history and we see we serve a covenant-keeping God who keeps his word. Because if you're going to go by our standards, The children of Israel probably lost hope a long time ago, because the book of Genesis ends with Israel surviving a famine, but Exodus starts off with Israel in bondage and slavery. For 400 years, Israel served as slaves. Then God raises up Moses, and the children of Israel are led out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, into the wilderness, on the way to the Promised Land, but they do not get to enter into the land because of their unbelief. And so for 40 years, they're camped out on the wrong side of Jordan. Not wrong in the sense is they are in a place that they didn't have to be had they trusted in the Lord, and had Moses not revealed his faithlessness, Israel could have taken the Promised Land that God had for them. But for 40 years, they have sat camped in the wilderness, and God had provided for them. Amazing how God took care of his people in, of all places, this desert wilderness. He provided food and he provided water and he took care of Israel. And in this time, life, surely after 40 years, when you think back over doing something for 40 years, it gets to be normal very quickly. How long does normal have to, how long do you have to do something before it becomes normal for you? I think for some of us, maybe just a couple of days. A couple of years, but 40 years, you have to argue that Israel is in this place where normal is living in the wilderness. But that's not what God had in store for them. So Joshua now is, at least last week we looked and we saw how God told Joshua, be strong and courageous. You're going into the land. And I'm going to go with you, and you're not going to depart from my word. Do not depart from my word. But having looked back at the story, just the big points of the story, it takes me back to consider how long mercy had flowed for Israel. Was it that day in the wilderness where the Lord provided for them manna or water when they needed it? Was it in the wilderness when they first arrive and they're complaining and God sends them the quail to eat, the birds to eat? Was God's mercy working whenever the children of Israel walked across the Red Sea on dry ground that later swallowed up the Egyptian army? Was God's mercy working when Israel was in bondage, in slavery? Was God's mercy working before that, when Israel was spared the famine in Egypt? Because of the way they had dealt treacherously with Joseph, they had meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, we read. And you look back at how long mercy had flowed, and you can get all the way back to the beginning, how God, in his mercy and his patience, had been tending to the affairs of this world, and God still tends to our affairs today. He is not gone and he is not silent. But for the children of Israel to be stuck in the wilderness for 40 years, how long does mercy flow? Israel had a lot of time to sit and think about how God had worked in their past. But when you look at Joshua chapter 2, you see that in that 40 years, God was not just taking care of his people. Word was going forth about his leading his people. And people around took notice. And so Joshua sends spies into the land across the river to see what's on the other side and to take a temperature, if you will, a survey of what the journey looks like. And I want you to know, for Joshua, I completely can understand in this capacity how difficult it is to try to encourage someone to move from a place that they're at when they're not really ready or wanting to move. You know what I'm talking about? How hard it is to convince somebody to make that big change. This morning, I'd like to look at four obstacles, but 3 points as to what Israel was up against. Remember, going into the promised land is not a matter of if for them, it is a matter of when. But if Israel were to stand upon the and trust in the past opinions, the past opinions said, stay. In Numbers chapter 13, when Moses sent spies into the land, remember what they saw when they saw what they were up against? The reports, we're going to look at Numbers chapter 13, verses 25 through 33. But the early reports discouraged the people greatly. Look with me at Numbers 13, 25. And they returned from searching of the land 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought word back unto them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we, and they have brought up an evil report of the land which they have searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And we look at Israel here, and their concern and their worries are real, because they are facing giants in the land. And as they face these giants, Israel is now at a juncture. Does she go into the land? Does she stay? And for Israel, the challenge is very real. And for Israel, the challenge is really terrifying. And as Israel has had to take survey of what's all around her, everywhere she looked, there were those, those enemies on the left, the right, above us and below us. They are all around. It's kind of like the schools here in our county. You know, we've got the four school districts, the really big schools. But life's so much more important than those school rivalries that people get excited about. It's even bigger than those college rivalries that we get excited about. And Israel continues, and there we saw the giants of the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And the early reports of being inside the land was that there was giants. Sure, it was the land of milk and honey, but it's not going to be easy. And for the children of Israel, the first obstacle that they're going to have to overcome is their fear of the past. They're going to have to overcome those early reports, because they know here where it's normal is easy and comfortable. God's taking care of us. But to go into the promised land, as God told Joshua last week, wherever you set your foot, I'm going to give that to you. And Israel had potential to go after so much more than she actually gathered. And Israel right now is hobbled by the opinions and the fears of the past. And I want to remind you to never, ever underestimate the power of opinions. Because opinions certainly have the way to shape and influence the way that you and I respond in times of crisis, the way you and I live our life each and every day. Someone's opinion can be captivating and can be immobilizing to us. And I know that the saying is, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But that's not necessarily true. Words, while they may not have weight. They certainly have force. And words may stop all efforts. And it just takes one naysayer to help bring the effort to a halt. Because they're like that old shampoo commercial, you know, where she told a friend, and then she told a friend, and so on, and so on, and so on. It is amazing how opinions spread like wildfire, and words have the ability to hold us frozen in the past. Maybe someone told you you're worthless. Maybe someone told you that you cannot move beyond what you've done in the past. But I want you to know this morning that we are sometimes limited by the consequences of our actions, but we are freed by the grace found only in Jesus. Jesus has the power to bring change, church. And that just because someone did not believe in you, just because someone had something discouraging to say to you, you need to move beyond those words, or else you're going to be stuck, pegged down, and weighted down and burdened down in the past. But for Israel, it is amazing to look at where she's at in the book of Joshua. Because I've painted a picture that sounds like most of Israel is hesitant and they just want to stay where they're at. But we find in Joshua chapter 1, as we looked last week, that there is present support. And the present support is willing to follow Joshua. When the Lord told Joshua, be strong and courageous. There's a land. Be strong and courageous. Turn not away from the book of the law. Be strong and courageous. I am with thee. Look with me in Joshua 1, verses 16 through 18. What the people whom God had commissioned to work with Joshua as they helped usher Israel into the promised land. Listen to their response in verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commanded us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. And the present opinion for the children of Israel is that they're looking to Joshua and they say, we want to follow you. And we understand the pitfalls of staying here in the land. And we understand the pitfalls of departing from what the Lord has told us to do. Joshua, be strong, be courageous. And for Israel, stuck here now, camped on this side of the river, having weighed the obstacles that they face ahead, the journey would not be easy, no doubt. They've got to cross a river. They've got to cross a river without people complaining. But for Joshua, you know it's got to be in the back of his mind. It's that fear of failure. I heard one of our beloved coaches, he may not be beloved to you, but I heard one of our beloved coaches say this week concerning a recent game, had he known that they would lose, they wouldn't have scheduled this extra game. Had they been able to win and see that they were going to win, they'd want to move forward with it. But if they'd known that failure was going to be a possibility, they wouldn't even done it. And how many times does a fear of failure keep us from moving forward? I know for a lot of people, it's really easy to be terrified to do anything or to move beyond normal because you're just afraid that if I put in a little effort and it doesn't work out for me, I'm going to fail, and I do not want to fail. But remember, the weight of what's behind the children of Israel is right now, the weight and the momentum seems to be in favor of going into the promised land. As they just told Joshua, be strong and courageous. And I want to warn you of the danger of following popular opinions, is that popular opinions change with the times. All you have to do is look in the headlines today, and you see how different the headlines are from yesterday. It seems to be that we live in a day where popular opinion and consensus turns on a dime. And Joshua needs to realize, as he's getting ready to go into the promised land, as the people are standing with him, that yes, popular opinion may change. That they may start off on this journey, and the children of Israel may say, you know what, we'd rather go back. I think they do say that. As a matter of fact, we'd like to even go back to being slaves, as they told Moses. It was better to be a slave in Egypt than to be sitting here in the wilderness and dying of hunger. Israel's already demonstrated how fast she vacillates from living in a land and a place of blessing to wanting to go back to bondage. So people are fickle and opinions quickly change. But do not let a fear of failure stop you. But for Joshua, I think also, is that fear of abandonment. As they start off on the journey, there's four times now we've looked in Joshua chapter 1, and we see Joshua said, told, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. The charge was for Joshua to surrender his heart and to order his steps and to rise up and be what God had called him to be, the leader to take the children of Israel into the promised land. But he was not going to be able to do it in his own strength, because the journey is going to be a group effort. It's going to require all of Israel pulling together and working together. And I know that when we're talking about progress, if you've ever played tug of war, sometimes life feels like that. You've got two parties pulling in opposite directions and there's no progress. And when you have two teams pulling in the same direction, progress moves in one direction. And then it was never going to be easy for the children of Israel going into the promised land. They were going to have to fight to take the promised land, and they're going to have to come across this giant city of Jericho. And the way they fight is going to defy all odds. But for Israel and for Joshua, the promise to go into the land wasn't a matter of if, it was going to be a matter of when, and the group would have to take that journey together. And what do the spies return back with the word? What do they hear when they go into the land? It's that the heathens asked for mercy. Look with me in Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, as we look back at what Rahab said. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord had given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is in heaven above and in earth beneath. And I don't know that they were expecting that. That word on the other side of the river, there was a building consensus. That word had gotten into the land of Canaan, that God's people were on the move, and that God was working through his people, and that it was not good to stand up against God's people as they were moving in to take the land that God had promised them. Now, I talked a few moments ago about the fear of opinions and the power of words, but I think sometimes progress stops when we have differing opinions. Not necessarily saying the same thing, but actually quite the opposite. Well, you see it from this angle, and I see it from this angle, and somebody's got to be right. And I know when if you and I were to stand up here today, if I were to call you upon the platform and ask you to share your opinion on the best basketball team in North Carolina, we might have differing opinions. Because I don't really have a dog in the fight, and I know that some of you lose heart whenever I say that. How dare you? Your heart can't be right with God. But how easy it is for two people to hold something so highly and so esteemed, and that we feel our opinions are are strong and our opinions have greater weight than the other person's. That's the power of opinion. We like our opinions. We don't like other people's opinions. And I think for the children of Israel, it is true for what happens with us in each and every day. Because we sometimes call it faithlessness. That the children of Israel just aren't trusting in God. Joshua sent in spies into the land to find out what they would be up against. Why didn't they just march across on dry ground? Because the land had been called, for God had given it to the people, that the children of Israel had already heard Joshua being commanded to be strong and courageous. Why didn't they just charge in? Joshua sends in the spies to survey and see what they're up against. And their momentum could hinge on the words that come back to them. So those giants, they're really everywhere, and it's true. I know out at Camp Deer Lake, I deal with this just about every summer. Some kid comes up to me terrified, and they'll say, I'm really scared to go canoeing in the lake because that fella that sleeps in the bunk next to me, he told me you've got sharks in the water. And I'll say, we do? Uh-huh. There's some giant carp that swim out there. If you've ever seen the carp swimming, I guess they can look like sharks because they're probably 5 feet long. Very, very large. But it just takes that one kid introducing that it's a wildfire at the camp. And I'll say to the kids, why aren't you down at the lake? Why aren't you using the lake? Because there's sharks in the water. Yeah, but you're not in the water. You're on the water. You're in a boat. It's safe. I've seen the movies. I know how that goes. And as we look at the way opinions have a way of shaping us and differing opinions, we sometimes capitulate and we sometimes bend and we buckle because we just think, you know what? He believes it a lot more than I do. He's got to be right. We know how opinions work. You think yours is right. I think mine is right. And I'll try my best to convince you of my opinion. You'll try your best to convince me of my opinion. But at the end of the day, are really either one of us moved? But the power and the fear of differing opinions has a way of immobilizing because we end up not being faithless. We put too much faith in the wrong sources. So when the children of Israel consider what's waiting on the other side, oh, it's going to be tough. Oh, it's going to be hard. Is that an opinion that should stop you or is that an opinion that should prepare you for the journey ahead? I think that's grace. And I think that's mercy for the Lord to let his people know, you know what? It is going to be tough. I'm not going to make it easy for you. You're not just going to go in and the houses are going to be made and the gardens are going to be... Wait a minute. God does say that. God says, this is the land. You go in and you take the houses. The gardens are planted. You're going to fight for it and you're going to conquer and you need to wipe out the enemy in the land. And Israel, as they go into the promised land, had they listened to the voices of the past, or to the fear of what might have been, they wouldn't have moved forward in victory because they'd be putting too much faith in the wrong place rather than trusting in their strength and their abilities, which 40 years is a long time to sit still. They could worry about their enemies, but it all comes down to this issue. It's not that you have too little faith, it's that you've got too little faith in the Lord. Because you've moved more faith into another area. But another way, another temptation that we face with this fear of differing opinions is sometimes we think about the past victories that we faced. I mean, Rahab brings it up, and we're going to look at that. And I think the important aspect for us to realize is that if you and I rest upon our past victories, we can relive those glory days, but we will never, ever reclaim. Or we will never, ever move forward if all we're doing is leaning so heavy on the past. In my town that I grew up in, it was in 1965, our high school football team won the state championship. And that is emblazoned across the town. Everyone remembers that team. I asked my sister this past weekend, I said, how did the teams shake up this year? How did the school do? And she said, oh, they have stunk for so long. It's just embarrassing to go to the games. Not because the games, the players aren't trying hard. It's just that they are so overplayed. And bless their heart, they work so hard. But they just don't seem to be cut out for it. And that's not the way the Spirit was whenever I was growing up. It seemed to be in town that Everyone remembered that really big victory, that really big year. And even though it was well into the 80s, 20 years later, everyone was still talking about that big victory. So don't rest upon past victories. There's something important to take away from them. And we're going to look at Numbers 21, verses 31 through 35, as we see what Rahab was making reference to. This is when Israel deals with the land of the Amorites. In verse 32, "And Moses sent to spy out Jazer, and they took the villages thereof and drove out the Amorites that were there. And they turned and went up by the way of Bashan. And Og the king of Bashan went out against them and all his people to the battle of Edrei. And the Lord said unto Moses, Fear him not, for I have delivered him into thy hand, and all his people and his land. And thou shalt do to him as thou didst unto the king Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwell at Heshbon. So they smote him and his sons and all his people until there was none left him alive, and they possessed his land." And this is when Moses is there on this side of the river. And if Israel just would have stopped and said, you know what, this looks pretty good. We're right here. I mean, we're all fitting, and God's taking care of us. We're happy. We're content. This is not such a bad thing. I mean, we just came off of a really big, decisive victory, not necessarily 20 years ago. It's, you know, in our recent history, we think about what has happened. But when the news gets across the river into Jericho, what is Rahab's response? Rahab's thinking, wait a minute. We see what God has done with the other neighbors in our land, and God's judgment's coming to us. It's so Joshua, children of Israel, God is going to work through you to give you the promised land, and the fear of what God has done is going to go on before you and prepare even the people's hearts in the land. But it was going to take Israel standing up and coming to Jericho. So while we do not run away from the past victories, we celebrate them, yes, and we can't live in the past victories show us the pattern. Not just of how we can do it again, but that God can do so much more. As he has done in the past, he can do in the future, but he's far too creative and far too powerful to do it the exact same way. So now we come to the close of our message. Our point this morning has been this: opinions may be greater obstacles than treacherous terrain or mighty giants. For the children of Israel, dealing with the reports of the past, and for the children of Israel to hear what the inhabitants of the land are saying, it's going to affect them in one of two ways. If they think about the past, if they think about the power of the past, if they think about the struggles of the past, it holds them back and they're not going to move forward. But if they look at the land of promise, if they realize what God is doing and how he's working, momentum is going to build, and Israel is going to take the land of promise just as God has promised. But be careful, because momentum stops when our can'ts and our won'ts are louder than our cans and our wills. And I think that's a hard truth to remember when you've ever lived in discouragement. Every day, every moment is just overwhelming, that I can't and that I won't. But God is bigger than that. God is the God of cans and wills. And we've got to start thinking differently about the way we have operated in the past as we move into the future and move forward. Not that I can't, I won't, but that we can. And we will. Because remember how long mercy flows. The word that had went into the promised land of God working through his people, that they were coming into the promised land, had prepared some of them to ask and to say, please deliver us, as we see with Rahab. What a beautiful story how she asks for deliverance for her family. And I say, you know what, for us, church family, there's a challenge for us. Just because your family may not be where they need to be doesn't mean that you stop praying. that God save them. As Rahab petitioned on behalf of her family, you and I too need to petition on behalf of our family members. Not just our family members, but our neighbors and our community. Because popular opinion, if we listen to the reports, these days are difficult and the times are hard and that people's hearts are cold. But you know what? As I look at the scriptures, I see that's always been the case. As we listen to our polls, we see how sharply divided our country is. We look at our recent elections and we see it split almost 50-50. And so when a poll comes out and says half of the American people want this, it shouldn't come as a surprise to us because we know that that division already exists. May that prompt us and motivate us to pray because we see how long mercy flows, but we know that mercy and time will one day run out. So don't give up and don't stop. Because the work that you do, the prayers that you send up, the care that you share and the support that you lift and offer is not wasted. I think what the church often gets labeled for is with our identity is that we are caring and we are callous because we have a judgmental and we've got a very pessimistic view when we talk about mankind being a sinner. And that's not our position. That's the Word of God's position. Humanity has a sin problem, but we have a Savior who takes care of that sin problem. His name is Jesus, and He died on a cross, and He was buried, and He rose again the third day. And if there's any message that the church sees and realizes, and you've experienced in your own life, it is this, that people can change, and that people do change, because through the power of the gospel, the Lord brought change to your life. So just because you've got a loved one who is wayward, please don't give up. Continue to pray. And it may not come in your lifetime, but God is not done. God is still working. People can change, and that's the power of the gospel. So here's our response this morning. If we're going to move beyond normal, we've got to move beyond yesterday's expectations. We've been working around and talking about the way opinions affect us. This morning, I want to tell you that sometimes the hardest obstacle is just starting because we've done it. We've seen what happened in the past. I did that. I tried it. It didn't last. It was just so hard. And sometimes we have expectations that really do cause us not a sense of faithlessness, but a sense of misplaced faith. God, I know what you tell me, and I know how you work, and I know what you can do, but I'm going to move my faith from in you to somewhere else. Someone else looks like they've got a better handle on it. Or, Lord, it seems to be that I can get distracted and entertain myself, or I can try to just ignore the problem. And I don't think it's a problem of faithlessness. It's a problem of misdirected faith. We're trusting and we're looking for something that was never ever meant to satisfy that expectation. So before you can change your outcome, you've got to change the expectation. Discouragement holds unrealistic expectations. It's expecting. I know they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and expecting a different result. And I'm talking about changing the expectation. If you're looking for church to be a place where you're entertained, church is sometimes entertaining. I might fall down and you might laugh. But church should never be a place of entertainment. It should be a place where our hearts are broken upon the rock of the Word of God and how the power of the Holy Spirit moves in our services and in our hearts and our lives. And sometimes we just lose sight of that. God doesn't seem to be working like He used to be working. We place unrealistic expectations that what God did in the past is the way He does it today. And you know what? God works in a very similar fashion. The way you came to faith is the way other people came to faith. And a lot of times we think, well, back in the day it seemed to be that you could just knock on a door and somebody would just pray a sinner's prayer right then and there, but it's not true today. It takes time and it takes work and it's hard work. So don't give up. Change the expectation. Because if you don't, you're going to find yourself discouraged. Because discouragement will demand a result that's never intended. It was supposed to be easy. Life was supposed to be simple. I wasn't supposed to have all these problems. I am saved. How in the world is it that I have these problems in my life and my family seems to be falling apart? And when the storms of life rage around us, it's not a breakdown of what God can do. It's a breakdown on our attention. People let us down. And in the spies case, Rahab let them down. She just happened to be pulling for them and lowering them down the wall. So remember, discouragement is when you try to find a result that was never intended. When you try to find a satisfaction that was not ever going to match that expectation. We place those expectations on people. We place those expectations on in just about every area of our life. And when those expectations don't match up, we quit and we walk away and we're done. When we need a realignment. As the children of Israel cried out to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Remember, you are not alone in this fight, that we are in this together, and the journey requires all of us. So may this be our prayer. Lord, give me the strength to keep my faith in you alone, the one who will not let me down.